Hi, today we're going to be talking about family and education, and I'm hoping that God will touch us in a special way to teach us. All right, let's read through this particular first verse as we begin. Then after we go through the scope and what we're going to cover today. All right, okay, let's read this verse. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Okay? Family and education. Okay, this is what we're going to be covering today. Basically, the number one biblical principle that we need to teach all of our children. That's very, very important. Okay? Whether you're married or not, we all need to know this. Alright? And because it's the principle that I must learn, and especially for those who are married, will be planning to marry, and in God's plan, will be married. Okay? God does have a number one principle that you must teach all the children. Alright? Then the third definition of Christian education. 3 embedded principles for Christian education. Options in Singapore. We want to be realistic. What are the options? And then after that, before that, there's actually one, well, what do I do? Okay, I'll give you some principles. Going into specifics will take a long time, but I'm hoping that maybe in the course of the year, there could be maybe a session where we just talk about different things that we can do in education, all right? And the conclusion, okay? Feel free at any point to stop me and ask questions, because education of children in Singapore, education is Singapore's number one priority, I believe, especially with regards to the new people. All right, you realize that MOE is investing literally millions of dollars building hundreds of schools even right now. All right, you realize the teens ministry, you have a secondary school that will be erected just next to our church. All right, just beside Green, I don't know whether it's Greenwood Secondary or not, but beside our new church building, they are building a secondary school just beside there. All right, I don't know why, but you know what? Just hundreds of schools that's going to be built all over Singapore still, although we've got hundreds of schools, I think we're close to 400, I think 400 to 500 schools already in Singapore, but yet they're still building hundreds of schools. Because why? Singapore got no natural resources except people, okay? So they believe in investing a lot heavily in people, okay? One of the things, ITE, you know, ITE is very nice. The buildings, last time used to be, last time it's called VITB, okay, Vocational Institute Training Board. They kind of get leftover schools and give to the IT, sort of VITB, but today they make it big, they make it spanking. There's even an IT in Choa Chu Kang, they have Shop and Save inside. Okay, they also have Shop and Save inside swimming pool. Some of them, I think one or two of them may have. Okay, they even restaurants, McDonald's inside ITE, basically to attract, make sure the students go to school. Okay, so education is an important thing in Singapore, number one priority. But however, the worldly philosophy of education may have translate or what we call distilled down to the families. And as Christians, we need to hear from what God has to say with regards to education, okay? So, with that in mind, what is the number one thing that you think we need to teach our children? Anyone? I'll just take one so that I can follow. What do you think the number one thing that we need to teach our children? Okay? I'll just give you the verse. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ actually mentioned. Okay, there was someone who came, Master, which is a great commandment in the law. And what the Lord Jesus did was to take the whole entire Old Testament, and in the Old Testament law, there are 613 laws. Okay, and what basically Jesus did was summarized it into two. And once we do these two laws, everything else will fall into place. Okay? And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. It's taken from the Old Testament. Let's read from here. Okay, thou. Ready? 1, 2, go. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. Okay? For those who know, the second commandment that Jesus said, the second is like unto the first. It's the same as the first. Which means that this one, loving God and loving people, are one commandment, one and the same, all right? Context a bit different, but it's the same, okay? Now, how do we open up this verse? all children must learn to love God with all their heart, all their soul, and with all their mind. Every child must be taught that as they grow up, because that was what Jesus taught the people. And that was continuously the trend, all right, within the New Testament and the Old. Because what Jesus did was take the Old Testament commandment and bring it into the New and say, look, everyone that is growing up must learn to love God. Okay? So when the children are growing up, they must be educated. Okay? As young as Hui Chi, you need to love God with all your heart. Okay? You sure? Okay. Alright, the children as they grow up must learn to love God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. Okay? Now, in the verse that was told just now, there are three things. The heart has to do with the seed of the spiritual life. Now, what is the problem with that for children? What is the problem with that for children? Anyone? What is the problem with that? Children, unless they have trusted Christ, they are spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead. Okay? But you know, all the more important that we must constantly present God's word to them so that they can actually intellectually understand the gospel and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, the heart has to do with the seed of the spiritual life. The soul has to do with the feelings, the desires, and the emotions. In other words, how many of you have seen children say, go to church? Okay, lor, no choice. Lor. Mommy say, must go, must go. He's obeying parents, but does she want to go? Or he wants to go? No. But you know what God says? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy emotions. In other words, when you hear church, yes, I want to go. Read the Bible, yes. Pray, yes. Worship God, yes. Tracting, yes. Anything related to God is yes. Okay? I know sometimes as adults, okay. But you know what? We need to love God, even with our soul. Alright? And then the mind, and all the mind, is a seed of intellect and understanding. Even in our mind, when we think about God, we must love Him even in our mind. In other words, when we think about heaven, oh, we thank God for that. And we understand about heaven, and it is something that is joyous to us. Okay? So with this in mind, every child is to be trained to love God with all their spiritual life, all their affections, all their feelings, all their desires, and all their intellectual life. In other words, the main controlling principle in the child's life must be God. Because that was what Jesus taught the people. And if that is what Jesus taught the people, in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so we actually have to, not only ourselves, have to love God, all our heart, mind and soul, we need to teach our younger ones to do the same. Okay? Afterwards, we will open it up again. And as to what we're going to do. But how do we teach our children to love God? How do we teach our children to love God? Anyone? How to teach our children to love God? True? Through the Bible, okay? Basically true. Okay. How do we train our children to love God all their heart, soul, and strength? Through education. Okay? Through teaching them. From young, they don't know, but you need to teach them. Okay? So just what is education? This is taken from Webster's Dictionary, 1828. Okay? Noah Webster is a Christian, and he has a great dictionary that is used in many of the illustrations and dictionaries, meaning of the words. He will actually give you biblical principles as well. So if you go on the internet, you can Google it, you have a meaning that you want to find, even in your Bible study, you can go to Webster's. Pretty safe, because what happens is that he would take the meaning generally, and then he actually applied Bible verses, because there's a meaning in the Bible. Okay? So what is education? Let me just read. The bringing up, as of a child, instruction, formation of manners. So, education is not only to teach the children, but also to train the child. Okay? Education includes all that series of instruction education which is intended to, number one, enlighten the understanding, number two, correct the behaviors, temper, number three, form the manners and habits of youth, and then to fit them for usefulness in their future stations. Can I say this? In education of our children, we must have objectives. it's not just to earn money. If that's the case, a lot of neurosurgeons earn a lot of money, but their lives are immoral, and they'll do anything they want. Okay? We need to be very careful, even as we bring our own children, we must have objectives as we educate them. Alright? Because according to the definition of education, it is not only to just prepare them and make sure they have a good job next time. Parents, if that is our goal, we actually need to seek the Lord about that. In other words, we need to readjust our focus. If our children have that thinking, we need to readjust that focus. Because that focus will, without doubt, make the child make decisions that many times will not follow biblical principle. Does that make sense? Because if my goal is to earn money, I need to get a good job. If you get a good job, that's my goal. And so, whatever God says doesn't really matter, because my goal is to. But if our job is to, like, that's not what we say, to love God, all our heart, mind and soul, then our decision-making process will be different. Does that make sense? Do you realize that every child needs to be taught that? Do you realize every adult needs to be taught that? To put God first, alright? Okay? To give children a good education in manners, arts and science is important. This is in the dictionary. To give them a religious, okay? To them it's religion, but it's Christian education is indispensable. That means you absolutely must give your children a base strong foundation in Bible Christianity. That's what he's saying. Okay? And an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect these duties. Okay? So that's what. Any questions up to there? Feel free to stop me, alright? Okay. I'm going to talk about Christian education per se. One of the things about Christian education is there's a growing group of Christians who believe that it is their responsibility to educate their children. When we talk about Christian education, I'll just define it first and talk a little bit about that. Okay, what is Christian education? Because one of the things in Singapore, certain parents who generally, will say that education is something that the children will learn. Okay, they have to learn. They must learn to read, they must learn to write, they must know science, they must know literature, they must know national education, alright? You know what, they need to do the education because they must pass their O-level, PSLE, etc., etc., etc. Okay? And this is a practical, pragmatic aspect of our Singaporean society. However, there is a group of Christians who are looking at the Bible and say, well, the educational philosophy of a particular society, every society is different, okay, in terms of their educational philosophy. For Singapore, it's meritocracy, right? Meritocracy meaning that your advancement is based on your merit. If you do well for PSLE, you go a certain track, okay? If you really do very well, you go a high flyer track or something like that. If you kind of hit the bottom, but you stay this track. And you can go on the MOE website, they actually have all the tracks for you already. Even in special school, even children with intellectual disability, they have different tracks. IQ this score, you go here. IQ that score, you go there. IQ that score, you go there. Alright? Everything is sort of planned for you. But what does the Bible say? And whether or not as believers in Christ who believe the Bible, who believe that God made us, who believe that parents are supposed to be the educators of our children, what does the Bible say? In the 1960s, Christian education, can I say this, all along in America, all along, home education has been the norm. All along. Until the 18th century. What happened was industrialization came on. No more was there home cottages whereby they sow and they sell things and all that. All right, there's history. But what happened was, every time, even in different countries of this world, home was the education center. Okay? It's only when industrialization came out that the parents must go out and work, the children must go out and work. And as they are working outside, there's no one to tend the children. And that's where so-called schools came out. And the children went to school. If you see the olden movies or whatever, you know, the school could have a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old and everyone in the same class. Alright? Okay? And you just draw one housefly, those who saw the, what's the song? Treasures in the Snow. The teacher will draw a housefly, and everyone is supposed to learn that, of course, at different levels. Alright? So it's just a general, called a village school and all that. Okay? But, of course, over time, school got more sophisticated as it went along. In 1960s, the school system in America really crumbled very badly. Very, very badly. And so in retaliation, many of the American homeschoolers, Americans, actually, I won't say revolted, but what they did was they retaliated against this decreasing ability to write. People as old as 20 years old, so-called graduated, couldn't even fill a form, for example. It was really, really bad. And so there are a lot of Christians, churches actually started, all right, their own schooling. And they say, we have to get out of this kind of trap because, number one, the worldly philosophies are being taught. Number two, children don't go to school to learn. They go to school to take drugs, etc., etc. So a lot of problems were there. So the Christian education movement came out in the 1970s, all right, and began to take root in churches. Churches actually have their own school now, own school. And they began to teach the children, rather than evolution, they began to teach creationism. That God made all things, okay? And so over time, the whole so-called Christian education movement spread. Alright? And so that's kind of give you a background. Now, how did it travel to Singapore? I think the Americans who came here, so they homeschool. And you know, everything that happened in the West will come over here, generally. But generally, what is Christian education? Is it important for us, even as a church, to consider Christian education? After, hopefully, we will be able to share a little bit, okay, on some of the pros and cons. Remember, we need to be both biblical and practical as well. But I'll say this. If what is practical contradicts Scripture, the practical must go. Agree? But at the same time, I know it's going to be a hard balance, but that's where we need to seek the Lord. Okay? Can I say this? After I'll just bring it out as we go along. Okay? So, but let me define what is Christian education first. It's defined as a humanitarian discipline or subject which educs or extracts. The word education, parents, this is very important. The word education is to in the original meaning, is to extract from the children what God has given to them. The principle is to help the child reach the fullest potential. Does that make sense? Does that make any questions? Education is not only putting in education, literally the word edak. Induce and edak. The word edak means to bring out, right? Edak or extract. And develop those individual gifts given by God to each person, and which induct and inculcate. So basically, edak means to pull out, induct means to put in. Okay, so education includes the both. The original meaning of educator literally means to extract from the person what God has already put in. Does that make sense? Okay, any questions there? And so Christian education basically focuses a lot on, we believe that God made all men. Agree? And so God literally have endowed in Hui Qi, in Esther Joy, in Titus, in even Ruth and Ezra. When you look at Ezra, you know that there's something inside of him that has to come out. Okay, he's so cute. He can chat a lot. And if given the proper channels, you can extract the things that God has put in him. Does that make sense? That is what education is. But Christian education, remember, we are spiritual beings. God actually wants us to actually deal with the child, not just from any philosophy, but from God-guided philosophy. Okay? Christian philosophy. And so here is defined as the discipline which extracts and develops the individual gifts, and also which inducts and inculcates and develops the special graces, general virtues, general items of knowledge to be communicated from God to every person in accordance to Jesus Christ as the incarnate word and in consonance, that means in parallel, or rather in sync, okay, with the scripture as a written word. That's Christian education. Christian education basically means God has given us his word. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to even put our educational system under scrutiny by God? Does it actually help the child develop God-given graces? All right, any questions? Okay, let's press on. Okay, there was a purpose. Christian education is a directing of the process of human development towards God's objective for man, godliness in action and character. It bends effort to the end that man is truly furnished unto all good works. That's the final goal. Okay? Now let me just put it in perspective. When we talk about Christian education, it doesn't necessarily mean math, science, English only. It doesn't just mean that. Okay? Don't kind of pigeonhole it into, oh, Brother Johnny is homeschooler, therefore he's going to just talk about it. I'm not talking about that. Christian education literally means in everything that we teach our child, whether it's buying food from the hawker set, from the hawker, whether you how to behave at the playground, okay, how you speak to your grandmother or grandfather, how you prepare your time before bed, when you get up, what do you do? The whole philosophy of teaching must be Christian. Does that make sense? Okay? Now this is a very important principle, because there will be people who will just focus on Christian education means math, science, English must be all Christian. Everything must be taught from a creationist point of view, which is true. Okay? But you know what? Christian education encompasses the whole lot, not just your daily subjects. Alright? Okay, any questions? Any questions? Okay, let's press on. Okay, I'll give you three embedded principles of Christian education. Number one, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. Okay, this has been a... I'll share with you one thing as you're turning there. In Deuteronomy 6, one of the preachers in the 1970s actually says this. When God gave this instruction to the children of Israel, He actually told the children of Israel, you are to teach my people my word on a regular basis, on a diligent basis. You must be systematically teaching the children. Okay? Now, then the preacher went on to say, is it possible therefore for God to tell the children of Israel to be taught the word of God from their teachers on a Sunday, for example, then on a Monday to put the children in front of Egyptian teachers or people of another culture and to instruct them differently? Now the principle that they were trying to drive across is it possible for God to want us to understand what God says and then for us to put our children under a different lot of teachers who will teach the children things which you know is clearly anti-God. Example, evolution. I just use it because it's all the time evolution. Clearly anti-God. And the teachers don't even pretend to love God. And they have their own philosophies about things. I think there was one time, there was one teacher who was actually telling this young primary two, I think, about another religion, right? About another Chinese religion in Singapore. Okay? And so let's say if that child is for a Christian family, the child would have been exposed to maybe teachings and maybe even generally generating their interest in other gods. Okay? Now, Brother Johnny, why is exposure... No, I need to... I'll go through this one first. Now, I'll go through one very important point. Because there are many, many people who believe in order to give our children an all-round education, you need to expose them to different things, right? Right? After we was in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 7, the Bible says, let's read the four verses together, okay? Ready? Deuteronomy 4, verse 4 to 7. Ready? 1, 2, go. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Okay, so the Word of God, number one principle of Christian education, whether it's sitting down to do science or maths or English, or in your daily life, number one, the Word of God must be taught. That's what God says. That's what Paul also in the New Testament telling the parents, fathers, bring up your children in the, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition has the idea of neutetic, meaning that you use God's word as a way of teaching. Okay? Sometimes when we get angry about our children, we say, wow, why you do that? I won't listen. But we fail to bring in God. You know, parents, when we actually correct our children, the children need to know they're not just making you angry. They're actually breaking God's law. And this is a very important principle because Jesus actually taught in Matthew chapter 5, if you're angry with your brother without a cause. The word without a cause means if we get angry with our children because we get irritated with them, more than because they break God's law, God says, you have parents that committed murder on your children. Okay? But generally, okay, just practically speaking, sometimes with the way what I'll do is I'll often tell my children, do you realize that when you disobey, you realize what God says? I'll already bring in God's word at the time so that they understand. They're not breaking. Papa is angry with you, not because I'm angry, because you broke God's law. Does it make sense? So then our children will constantly be put before God to fear Him. Alright, that's one thing that parents understand. Okay, that's one. Alright, so the Word of God must be taught daily, because the Bible says here, thou shalt teach them diligently. Okay, the idea of the daily talks about when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou risest up, when thou liest down. Every day, the children must have a systematic diet in God's Word. Whether it's by your devotions, whether it's by teaching, you know. It must be systematic. When you actually are teaching your child the Word of God, one of the things that many Christian families lose their children is because for devotions, we do one part, and then our child is sent to school for the next how many hours, and they are taught something different. Then at the end, we pray with them, they go to sleep. Okay? So if you do it incrementally, what happens is for every 5 days, that's just 1 week, our child will be exposed to maybe 3-4 hours of biblical instruction, including Sunday school, including maybe last time at Wise Kids Club, including maybe VBS if you have. Okay, so let's say about 4 hours. But you know what? Our child will be exposed to teaching from school. 6 hours times 5, 30 hours. And I know that parents are really struggling to keep some spiritual sanity in the house, because unfortunately sometimes whatever is taught in school is brought back. I had these two Christian parents who actually attended the so-called Christian kindergarten when me and my wife were doing it. And the mom was telling me that this son came back from a public school, quite a well-known one, and began to say things like BB. Okay, I wouldn't even tell you what BB is, but basically it's a bad word that he learned from school. Okay? Bad word he learned from school. So, I know this is a hard thing, but you know, what I want to do as pastor is to show you what God says that we need to do to help our children. Okay? And we can discuss about the practicalities, but you know what? According to the scriptures, we must teach God's word daily, systematically, diligently. In other words, our devotions are very important. On a daily basis, parents, children, I know in our church, there are parents who daily try as much as they can to teach God's word as they struggle with all the disciplines of life. They want to teach God's word. Okay? And children, if you're here and if your family members, your dad or mom, maybe not in the habit of doing that, ask them, Dad, can we pray together? Dad, can we read God's word together? Okay, it doesn't have to be long, alright? I shared with you about family devotion. It doesn't have to be 1.5 hours, alright? 10-15 minutes will do, alright? As long as the family gets together on a regular basis, alright? And you will find that the children actually look forward to the time because it's something special. Alright? The Word of God must be taught daily. One of the ways of Christian education, I go into the specific education aspect like math, science, English. For my family, I can share with my family. What they have in the booklets, okay, for those who know ACE, alright, I'm sure some of you may know ACE. They actually have pictures of Christian character. Like for example, if a child falls down, another person may be scolding this person, why so silly? But another person will say, hey, that's not the way we should respond. Jesus teaches us to love one another, that kind of thing. And so as the children is doing the books, they get exposed constantly to good character training, alright? And the children, before they actually do their test, they have to memorize verses, they learn about character. So it's all embedded inside their daily teaching. And the concept is that on a daily, regular basis, the children, day in, day out, when they do their work, school, we spend so much time in, they get exposed to Christian education. Or rather, they get exposed to biblical teaching. Okay? Any questions? Can I just say a word for those parents who say, but Brother Johnny, we're not doing that, so how? The Word of God still has to be taught. And that's where my encouragement in our society like ours, as much as possible, allow your children to be involved in Christian activities as much as possible. Okay? Because as a parent, can I say this? If your priority is to win your children will know your priority. But if our priority is the education system, your children will also know that. Okay? So can I encourage us to put a lot more effort in this? The Word of God must be taught. Because can I say this? The only thing that will change a child is God's Word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Before the children take the test on ACE, they are supposed to memorize scripture. Alright, so 5 tests, 5 Bible verses they must memorize. In ACE, they cut it down by half. We make sure our children memorize the whole thing. So that for them, constantly the Word of God is always, always in their mind. Okay, and so for 5 subjects, for one whole term, they would have memorized 25 verses. Okay, that hopefully over time, is already stuck in their mind. And when it's required, they will know the Bible verse. You know what you can do, parents, right now? You may be in a secular school, but enforce on a daily basis your children memorize scripture. Formulate them. Alright, and say, okay, before breakfast you must memorize scripture. That's what we do before breakfast, lunch and dinner. We have our verse there. So that on a continuous basis, okay, the Word of God is presented to them. Any questions? Okay, let's move on to the next one. The next one is we are to avoid anyone or anything that will teach contrary to the Word of God. Now, that's a tough one, but let's look at some scripture. Alright, let's turn up. We'll read from there. In Proverbs 19:27, this is a very interesting verse. Because the worldly philosophy that usually is given in education is this. You need to expose our children to as much things as possible. There was one particular, we attended a Christian education conference in, where's that place? Ponderosa, alright? You know Ponderosa? In JB. And so, there was this particular person who came out to kind of share his experience about teaching computers to the children. Okay, he's in the IT, and so and what he did was he shared about he and his son. One day the son stumbled upon X-rated computer site, okay? And this is what he taught the audience. You know what? I won't scold him. I will use that as an opportunity to educate him. You know what's wrong with that? Do you know what's wrong with that? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. This is a very important principle that I hope you can get the sense in your heart. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 5, I'll read there first. And I want you to listen to what God has to say about this, alright? Verse 5 says, for God doth know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did it. Verse 7 is the key one. And the eyes of them both were opened. Now what does that verse tell us? Pretend that there is this 3-year-old. Maybe we just take Ruth for example. Ruth is an innocent little girl. Okay, she's very innocent. And I'm sure as a mom and dad at home, like Brother Chai Heng and Sister Felicia, they will try their best to educate them in the right way. But pretend they went out on a party, alright, maybe a friend's birthday or whatever. And Ruth is just there, maybe just running around playing. And all of a sudden, someone on television does something that is wrong or immoral. Okay? At that particular point, you may think that, oh, it's innocent. The Bible says, the moment Eve took of that fruit, the eyes opened. Eve was exposed to something she was not supposed to know. Does that make sense? There are some things that children are just not supposed to know at a young age. Because it starts a trend of corruption in their lives. And that is why as pastor, I'm very particular about what comes into church because of this principle. It sets off a stream of corruption that if undetected, the child actually gets corrupt. The teens actually get corrupt. The young adults actually get corrupt. The church actually get corrupt. If we allow those things to come in. Does it make sense? But you know what? Coming back to education itself, if the child is being exposed to certain things they're not supposed to know, they will secretly do it without parents knowing. And when they come of age, you are wondering, what happened to my child? How come he couldn't take drugs? How come? It could have been that he's going down to mix with a group of friends that are down that track. Or maybe he may have seen certain things, heard certain things. Now I'm not talking about controlling a child, but God says here, stop. The word cease means to stop, put a brake, pull the handbrakes out, don't go any further. My son, to hear instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Parents will oftentimes give children instruction. Don't do this because it's wrong. Okay? You know what friends will tell you? We have had this before with our children. Don't tell your mom and dad. You know, in Christian education, there's this character called Kiki Kangaroo. Remember Kiki Kangaroo, Tim? You remember Kiki Kangaroo? Kiki Kangaroo was taught this. There's good secret and bad secret. Okay? Good secret is when the secret is to bless someone. For example, a birthday party and all that. A bad secret is when someone tells you to do something and say, don't tell your mom and dad. That is the clue for then Kiki Kangaroo is taught, okay, at 3 or 4 years old. Whenever someone tells you that, immediately, that's the key. You must tell your parents. You know, in America, the reason why they introduced this in the Christian education, because many of the children were immorally abused and were told not to tell their children. They even tell the Christian supervisor, say, be very sensitive because in your midst there may be someone who has gone through that kind of things. Okay? And isn't it real today, even in Singapore, many children go through that kind of things and they are often told not to tell? Okay? And so for children, if your teachers do something and say, don't tell your parents, straight away, sorry teacher, that's wrong. Okay, he may scold you or give you a lower mark. Never mind, you go tell me, mommy and daddy, go to principal. Alright? Okay, note down the teacher's name. Write down what he wrote, said. Alright? And really lodge a complaint. Because you don't tell children to go against their parents or keep something from their parents. Does that make sense? Okay? So, any questions on that in Genesis 3? So, which means if our children are exposed to pictures, exposed to movies, exposed to things. I'm not saying that everything is wrong. But you know what? Can I say, our children do not have the ability in their mind to know what is right and wrong. And so as parents, our job is to help them to know what is right and wrong. But you know what? If you throw them out and tell them, just go and do anything you want, you know what? The child will just really do anything they want. And they don't have the understanding of what is right and wrong. And so when they begin to do something, hey, how come you're doing that? It's okay, what? For example, I shared with you before, 6-year-olds in Vietnam was trained to kill, and they can kill an American soldier and walk off and smile. Alright, we need to be careful. The Bible says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. There was one time when I was doing my practicum in NUH, and this professor was teaching hand, and he says, you know what, 50 million years ago, and he had this picture of this, so I just walked out, and you know, I was marked down by my supervisor, who was a Christian as well. I was marked down because you were unprofessional in your work. Can I say this, we need to be careful. The world has a way of behaving, and sometimes when you do what is right, they may mark you down on that. Anyway, I did pass the course, so that's not a problem anymore. But God says, go from the presence of a foolish man. When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The Bible says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of stranger. This has to do with salvation. Can our children, when they see things that are wrong, be able to detect, what is wrong? I shouldn't be doing that. You know, from young, for music, from a young age, all my children, the moment they hear rock, straight away say, Papa, shut it out, or they move away. From young, they must be able to develop the sensitivity to sin and reject it. Okay? The Bible says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing against godliness, from such withdraw themselves. Don't get involved with that kind of things. Now, some of, I had this argument before, alright? Okay, if there are people or situations that are involved in teaching wrong things to our children, God's instruction is stay away from them. We have a problem. Is it possible for us to totally avoid the teachings, the influences, and the philosophies of this world? Is it possible? Is it possible? There are some countries of this world, some groups of people have tried to do that. They kind of, I don't use electricity, just go to this community, and everyone who believes in that just kind of stay away, and they dress long, and they just don't laugh and whatever. They have this strange notion that as long as you stay away from everything else, you're fine. Okay? But is it possible? Anyone think it's possible? Is it possible to stay away, totally avoid the teachings, the influences, and the philosophies of this world? Is it possible? Let's be reasonable. Even God's word says it's not possible. Okay? Many people actually use this argument. They use this argument because, listen carefully, they want to stay in the world. It's not possible, one. You know, everywhere you go is rock music. Everywhere you talk about this. Okay. This is what Paul says. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with what yet not ought. Nothing wrong with that. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 5:9-10. I was toggling with this and exporting it to my Microsoft Word and etc. etc. So 1 Corinthians 5:9-10. Okay, let's read from there. Okay? I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. I think it shifted the okay. But the Bible says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or the idolaters. The last part at least is here. For then must ye go out of the world. You know what Paul is saying? It's impossible for you not to be exposed to worldly things, because if that's the case, if you want to avoid it altogether, you might as well just leave this world. Go and die. Not go and die. You'll die, you have to leave this world. Okay? That's what Paul says. It's not possible. It's not possible. And therefore, the Christian argument oftentimes is, well, we have no choice. Yes, we do. If my hand is Okay, Jojo, you want to come up? Let's say my hand, just pretend my hand is full of black ink, okay? And I want to dirty your white shirt. So what do you do? She will try to stop me, right? Right?
Thank you.
Does that make sense? You know what? The world cannot corrupt you without your permission. The world cannot corrupt you without your permission. Because Satan has no right to do that. Satan can tempt you, but he has no right to corrupt you without your permission. Because in James chapter 1, it's very clear. Every man is tempted when he's led away with own lusts and enticed. Okay? Once we go down that track, I'm going to preach that in the Chinese church, because we're going through James. When we actually allow temptation to come and we say, oh, no choice, we join them. You know what we're doing? We're allowing the corruption to come. We can make a stand. Okay? So, I'll give you God's word. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. This is what I want to at least understand the heart of Christ, okay, as you train your children. The heart of Christ is this. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, from the perversions, from the wickedness of this world. When Jesus knelt and prayed the high priestly prayer, God, for the young believers, for the Christians, please keep them from the perversion and the corruption of this world. That was the heart of our Savior. Paul continues that, says, be not conformed, don't pattern yourself, don't follow the pattern of this world. Be not conformed to the things of this world. You know, Christians, let's go on first. In Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. You know, in Titus chapter 2:11, who knows the verse? What does Titus 2:11 says? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. You know, think about this. God's grace given to us to save us from hell. We deserve to go to hell, but God gave us His grace. And Paul says, since you understand this as God's grace, who has loved us so much, you know what? Do all you can to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The word worldly lust, worldly means pertaining to this world. Lust means a craving. Have you heard of? There's another verse in James, but let's read this one first. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Listen, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to keep himself unspotted from the world. In other words, if there is even an evidence that we are playing with the things of this world, God says your religion or your Christianity is not pure before God. Does that make sense? You know, this is, I'm showing you God's heart. God's heart is, look, the world will defile you. Stay away from it. There are Christians who play as close to the world as possible and say what's wrong with it. The question maybe we need to ask ourselves, what's right with that? Because God says is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. In fact, Paul goes so far as to say is what? Neither give place to the devil. Don't make any room to even allow that to happen. And that's why I apply that to the trends and fashions of this modern society. And if the modern trends and fashions of this society comes into the church, we have been spotted by the world. And when the church gets spotted by the world, you know what happens? The next stage is a pulling down of standards, pulling down of words. You know, it's a sad thing. My downstairs, there was a homeschooler with us, and when he was younger with us, he's okay. But you know, as he grew older, and right now he's scolding four-letter words, and he's okay. And he still attends church. The whole family still attends church. But you know what? As a Christian, the world doesn't care if he pollute you. They will just be themselves. Because they don't have anything to live for, except for themselves. But Christians, we have Christ to live for. And God says, to keep yourself unspotted from the world. You know, this is one of the very hard things to preach. Are we doing things that are spotting ourselves? Because if that's the case, let me apply that. When we come to church on Sundays, and we know we are playing, God says, our Christianity before God is defiled. When we knowingly, okay, sometimes we don't know, ignorant, fine, then we come before God, God, we repent of that. But you know what, if we knowingly are playing with that, and you know, the dangerous thing about our children when we teach them things or allow them to do certain things, if we don't govern themselves with Bible principle, you know what, they get corrupted. And that's why teenagers, can I say this, as they grow up, they don't tell their parents things they do. You know why? Because they know their parents will object. And teenagers, if you do that, the fact that you hide from your parents will tell you that it is wrong. Does that make sense? It's just the same situation as Adam and Eve. Why did they hide from God? Because they knew they did something wrong. You know what I need to do? Teenagers just repent and say, God, I'm sorry. Put it away. And if you need me, you tell your parents, I'm sorry for doing that. That is true, honest Christianity. Okay? So, the reason why I had to deal with that is because many parents actually say, this is part of life. Yes, it is. But you know, God has given us His life and we need to live by that. Okay? Any questions? That's why I had to, as pastor, has to teach you what God says. If you can show me I'm wrong, I'll change my position. But if this is what God says, Christians, we need to help one another. The key thing right now is don't go on a guilt trip. Say, Lord, if your grace has taught me to deny ungodliness, teach me to forsake this world and to live for you. Because God's grace is drawing us all the time. Amen. God wants us to be like Him. God wants us to be like Christ. As much as Jesus was with the prostitutes, the lawbreakers and all that, remember as He preached, never once did He partook of their lifestyle, never once did He say what they said, never once did He adopt their attitudes, and never once was He like them. But you know what? That was all the more powerful because everyone was coming to Christ to be saved and their lives are changed. In order for our children to learn that, we need to live that separated lives as well, right? So any questions? Okay, let's quickly just go through this. The third principle is we want our children to be exposed to wise men, okay? The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We read in the papers many times, especially these few months, of teachers doing wrong things with students. And the students actually allowing themselves into that. We need to be very careful. You know, the key thing about this kind of relationships and all that is, the teacher that teaches the subjects, there's nothing wrong with the maths and science and English, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? The attitude and the basis of their teaching must be clear. Is it from God's perspective or is it from the world's perspective? You can teach maths for maths. You know? You can teach maths for maths. But you know, for the Christian, when you actually go through some of the Christian curriculum, they say, okay, they actually go through the fact that when maths was created, it was God who made it. Because our God is a logical God. Okay, and our children will grow up with the idea, when I learn maths, it's because our God is logical. And we need to learn that, okay? So, we want our children to be exposed to wise men, okay? Now, in terms of educational options, very quickly, I'll just go through. There's four general options we have, alright, in education. Now, talking about subjects per se, alright? Now, I'll just go through quickly, public schooling, the pros and cons. In public schooling, is government supported, is very affordable, is regimented, is is systematic, it has funds, and it does go for the potential of the child. Okay, what is the potential of the child to go? The cons of that is intolerant to Christian education. They will not allow anything that is so-called Christian to come in, neither the other religions. It teaches the wrong things, not all the time. I think the subjects are okay, like maths and science. Photosynthesis is photosynthesis. It cannot be wrong. Because God, can I say this? All truth is God's truth. But you know, it does teach wrong things. Example, evolution. Example, I know sometimes in Greenwood Primary School, downstairs, we'll hear rock music, and then the children will be exposed to all that kind of things. Okay, it exposes the children to worldliness. You know, children, parents, you can train your child up to be holy and go to public school. You actually expose the child to worldliness. Because everything that the surrounding children they bring in, you cannot control. Okay? You have minimum time with children. School is a priority. I've heard Christian parents, deacons' children, many, many years ago, will say this, oh, no choice, huh? NDP is on Sunday, you know. Never mind, once in a while. Just think through, what is wrong with that biblically? I know it's hard, but you know what? We need to think through this because one day we will stand before God, and that particular Sunday, when we know it's right, I know sometimes it will be hard, but you know what? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, rather than choosing the right way, like Daniel, let's learn from these Christian heroes that say, even at the cost of our lives, we will not do the wrong thing. All I need to do is just bow down one time, I'll be fine. Even with that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, no. Because their love for God is stronger. Some people will say, based on pragmatism, and say, Brother Johnny, come on, it's just once. You know what? There's a worldly philosophy of pragmatism. Anything, I mean, it's just a one-time thing, what? You know, I used to think that also God will understand. But if Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, somehow I think that argument will not stand at the judgment seat. Because obedience is a very important thing, okay, to God. And so public schooling, there's no Christian influence whatsoever, okay? Christian school, there's no proper Christian school in Singapore, full stop, no proper. They claim to be Christians, but there's a charismatic one, a Victory Family Life, I think, it's totally off. They have problems with the AC rep and all that kind of thing. But there's no proper Christian school in Singapore that we can actually look to, unfortunately. The one that is close by now, MOE has not approved their teaching, and so now they have to close down as well. Homeschool, okay, it fulfills all three principles. Okay, the Word of God is taught. We, as much as possible, we reduce the influences of this world. Okay, and also we put it before wise men. As if yeah, okay. Number two, the pros is the parents set the pace. The parents are the one who determine the curriculum and the time. More time with the children, teach life skills in the real context. It does include the 3 hours: writing, reading, and arithmetic. Okay. The cons is, yes, sometimes it's expensive, alright? Okay, because one parent has to stay and teach. Okay, you cannot subcontract out. No such thing. One parent has to teach. And sometimes, the one cons is sometimes parents do feel inadequate to teach. Okay, there are certain curriculum like the AC, is all self-contained, you know, my wife and I, we learn as we go along. Alright, okay. Right now the con is an increased criteria by MOE. Now they say that all parents must be a graduate. Must be a graduate, at least one of them. The teaching one must be a graduate. Alright? And the con is minimum time with child. Sorry? What again? Okay, minimum time with child. Yeah, maybe. Okay. Okay, yeah. Maybe, yeah. Okay. Alright, and next one is. Okay, so the wisest option, there's another one, which is actually the church. The church is actually supposed to be a place of Christian education as well. Sunday school, voice kids club, FBI, it's Christian education. Alright, and so the church, I wouldn't include that, but that's pretty. So the wisest option, public school, Christian school, home school. Can I say this? It's not a sin to put your children in public school. It may not be the wisest option, but it's not a sin. Can I just encourage parents to think, I know I homeschool because I believe that's the wisest option. Can I say there's a lot of heartaches with homeschool? Are there heartaches also in public school? There are heartaches everywhere. It's actually choosing the best option. And you know, from a Bible perspective, I know some parents really can't or whatever. Don't take that and say, oh, I'm bad. No, it's not a bad. But you know what? You need to seek God's will. If this is what God wants you to do, then do it. Okay? And some people go as far as saying homeschool is not for everyone. You know, that would be the wisest choice. But you know what? Our children can grow in a proper Christian context. You know what? But if some parents will feel, no, bro, I really cannot do it. But you know what? We're not to judge them. We just, I've come from a church last time that says, oh, you're homeschooling, you're the best. I don't believe that. We have our problems too. As I said just now, there was a homeschooling son that now is uttering four-letter words and he's homeschooled. You know? Homeschool is not a guarantee, but you know what? Homeschool gives you the most opportunities to teach your children the way of Christ. That's why I'm saying it's the wisest option. Alright? And then as a church, that's why I'm also into thinking, like tomorrow the men we're having our meeting, how to disciple children as well, as much as we can. Am I encouraging homeschool? Absolutely. But there are some situations that parents can't. And I don't believe we should judge them. We should pray. And maybe God may change their mind. I don't know. But you know what? They're still brothers in Christ. Okay? And we need to encourage them too. Okay? Okay. How do I educate my child to glorify God? Very quickly, the last part. I just go through very quickly. Teach your child to put God first in everything. Everything. How to use money. Respect for parents. Read the Bible first before reading newspaper or what? Or cartoon book. Don't read the cartoon book. Read the Bible first. Seek God first in everything. Okay? I'll teach your child that number one. Make the Bible the number one priority in your family. Number one priority. Not the television, not anything. Make the Bible the number one priority in your family. You know what? Okay? Ensure that in all your teaching include what God says. Okay? You know why you have to write? Do you know why you have to read? Richie, do you know why Daddy Mommy was teaching you how to read? Why? To learn, okay, so that you can read God's word. Okay, know God, okay? Ensure this is so important. Ensure that you provide your child with godly example. If the Bible is not important to you as parents, it will never be important to your child. If serving God is not important to you as parents, it will never be important to your child. They will pick and choose. Okay? But if, Lord, this is your grace. Thank you for your grace. I'm going to serve you with all my heart. And you know, children, I'm serving God because I love God. You need to do that too. The children will pick it up. Why? Because education is about transferring your life to someone else. Alright? Next one. Okay, next one. Choose the wisest options for schooling. Okay? Within your situation. I would absolutely advocate homeschooling. Alright? Because yes, there will be trials and temptations. We thank God that myself, I think there's some, Tay Leong have gone through it. It's not that hard. Well, I take that back. Maybe for the first year, second year, yeah. But after that, it's going to be a bit hard. You know, Sister Felicia is going through it. And I'm sure as the time goes by, the key thing is if you want to train our child in Christian principles, that's a very, very important way. Okay? Why I'm mentioning the people? Because there are resources that you can go to. People has been there, done that. I also teach you how to... because we've gone through the first one to have to apply for compulsory education for all our children, we got it. And then, so there's something that we need to be clear, and we can actually give you some tips of to what to do, okay? The key thing about Joshua is homeschooling, okay? Next one, reduce worldly influences on your child. Oh, that is so important. I can tell you, if you allow your child to be exposed to certain things that you yourself don't want him to learn next time, and you expose him, the reason why he's exposed to it is because we allow them to. Television, music, friends, words, etc. Books. Okay? You need to be very careful there. Okay? Worldly influences. And can I say this? Worldly influences on the church, worldly influences on families, is one of the biggest factors for the downfall of any church. Satan doesn't care how he destroys a church as long as he destroys the church. And one of the ways is to add worldly influences. Okay? And Satan comes from every root. Okay? Make spiritual and character development your number one priority. Because when your spiritual and character development is in place, the child will be obedient to you to learn. Okay? This is very important. Pray often for your child. You know how you pray? You pick... you beg God to save him, number one. Number two, if there's some area in that child's life that you know maybe the child don't listen so much, God, you know this child is strong-willed. Help me to help her or him to understand how to obey. And you beg God on a daily basis for the child. Okay? Work together as a family. That simply means that, let's say if you have older children in the family, then you actually get the older children to help. Maybe you're out. Children, the older ones can kind of help mom and dad to monitor the younger ones. And younger ones are the older ones are given the authority to teach the younger ones, etc. Okay, work together as a family. All right, well, we've concluded. Basically, we're going through again. Any questions? Let me wrap up by saying this. To some people, it's quite controversial. And maybe this is the first time that some people are hearing this. Education is a very important thing. Satan is involved in education too, for his own ends. But you know what? When I teach this, it's so that we as a church will have an understanding. God has a will in education too. And how do we, by faith, practically express that in Singaporean context? Is each of us as a family need to seek the will of God. And what I want to do is to drive us as a whole, as a congregation, towards God's best option and to follow Him. Okay? This has also to do with Sunday school teachers. This has also to do with the different area, the youth ministry, how we educate. It's all Christian education, training the children to be useful to God in society next time. Okay? And so, there is no judgment on anyone. Some people, based on their own circumstances, choose a certain course of action. Our goal is to encourage them, to make sure that they're seeking the right path. But you know what? If that's not the wisest option, you know what? We need to encourage them as much as possible where they're at. And maybe God, in His time, will turn things around. I don't know. We've seen that happen before. But you know what? As a church, our children is our next generation leaders. Unless we educate them in biblical instruction, train them right in God's word, we will lose the next generation. Already is happening. Many independent Baptist churches are losing their next generation. They are into the world, and some of them may be still in churches, but they are bringing the world in. I remember as a 16-year-old teenager, I wanted to bring drums into the church because I've been exposed to the Pentecostal movement. But thank God, God brought me back. Okay, and so as we close, any questions? Just remember this: train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And I showed you last week, I think last week, research have shown, if you have trained your child right, they may rebel in the teens years, but as they grow older, they will always remember the faith of their parents. And so parents, and I encourage you, don't give up, alright? For those who are training your child maybe right now, you're not going to get the reward. I got my reward 15 years later, from the first time I started. And this was Sunday school teachers too. When you teach a young child, you cannot expect immediate returns. It's a lot of plowing for many years until God changed that heart to turn back to God. Okay? So for those parents who are in the different options, we need to pray for one another. And if God chooses to change something, let's work together as a church to encourage one another to train up the next generation for the Lord Jesus. Alright, any questions as we close? Okay, next week we'll be dealing with the family and the church. A very important principle from the Bible. How does church and family come together? Do we come together? Is one above the other? We're going to be dealing with that so that we have a proper Bible perspective on that. Alright? Any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask. I know people are very quiet, maybe because that is the trend. But I know also deep down, Lord, there may be questions. There may be things in their heart that maybe going unanswered. Father, I'm but a human instrument, but I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will take everything that I've spoken that is not in line with Your will. I pray You just eradicate that. But God, for those that is according to Your word and Your will, and I pray, Father, that You will help every one of us impress that deeply in our hearts. That God, we will educate our children according to Your will. Because Lord, ultimately our lives will be lived. We will be judged at the judgment seat. And God, as we put these things before, it's not for threat, it's not for fear, but God, truly it's because You love us and You want us to educate our children in the right way, the Bible way, Christ way, because You are our Savior, You are our Lord. Lord, there is no other way we want to educate our children except to honor You. I pray, Father, specifically for every parent here, that, Lord, it is their investment of life to train their children, Lord, not to be neutral, but to be godly. Not to want the things of this world, but to want the things of Christ. that in everything that they say, every desire they have, every attitude they will possess, every character they develop, Father, it will be in line with Bible principle, with Christ-likeness. Father, I pray for every child to understand that mom and dad is doing all their best to bring them up in the fear of God. Because they may earn millions of dollars next time, but God, if they lose their own soul, what does it profit them? I pray for every young child to understand obedience is such an important principle in their life. And that Father, as mom and dad live for God as a child, they need to obey so that they can live for God too next time. Lord, I pray that Ambassador Baptist Church will provide, that you will help us provide a culture, a place whereby everyone is taught the ways of Christ. Because Lord, you are our Savior, you are our God, you are the head of this church. And I'm asking you, Lord, to do a mighty work, not just in this time and age, but in generations to come. That every person that will come to Ambassador will be exposed to Christ-like education. That they will understand what it means to be a Christian and grow in that. That every child, every mom, every dad will put Christ as first in family, first in service, first in church, and first in everything they do. Lord, may we exalt you all the time. And God will thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.